We're talking this, we're talking that.
Hey, what are we talking about, man?
We're talking sex, not fiction, just facts.
Oh, man.
The freaky hookups that you just had.
It's gonna be good.
This ain't the birds and bees for mom and dad.
Oh, here we go.
So, Karen, don't you just get home from the bar last night? And you want to get super kinky with me. What's up with that?
Hey, yo, Karen, I'm really trying to drive the ladies wild. Can you tell me what to do? Can you give me some skills, please?
Dr. Karen. It's Sex Chat with Dr. Karen.
Hi, this is Sex Chat with Dr. Kat, and I'm your host, Dr. Kat Van Kirk, clinical sexologist and marriage and family therapist, and I am here with my favorite man about town, my gay boyfriend, Mr. Ross Martineau.
Hi there, Kat.
Hey, we're here to answer all of your sex and relationship questions from each of our perspectives.
Yes. You want us to answer your question? You can call the Dr. Kat 24-hour day, 7-day-a-week listener line at 213-270-1968. That's 213-270-1968, or email us at sexchat@drcat.com.
And you can support us by supporting our sponsors. Go to adamandeve.com right now for all of your Valentine's Day shopping.
Yes, that V-Day is coming up.
You got it. And get 50% off almost any item, plus a free mystery gift and free shipping when you enter the code DRKAT at checkout. That's DRKAT.
Woohoo.
Yay. So the whole Skins debate on MTV.
The controversy about Skins.
It is. So this is a new show on MTV that was based on a British show,
right?
About teens.
Right.
And all the shenanigans they can get into.
It's shenanigans and sex, drugs, and rock and roll.
That's right. And apparently it's been deemed by, you know, again, the whole
Council for Family
Parental watchdog,
whatever
group. Doesn't really matter what their name is now.
No.
But they have said it's the most dangerous show on TV for kids, and it is porn for teens.
Porn for teens. I love it. And of course, you know that the English version, the British version, was probably even racier.
Oh, totally.
You know. So, what's your take on it?
I hate it.
Oh, it's awful.
Which really kills me because I hate agreeing with the whole parental whatever board.
I know.
Thing.
And so here's the thing. Had they let it go, the show probably would have died because it's a bad show.
It's a bad show.
Right. But because there's so much hype about it, that's why partially why I tuned in. You know, it's
me
like,
too.
Oh, what's this all about?
Me too. So tell me why you think it's a bad show.
I think it's a bad show. I don't think it's well written. I don't think the characters are I think everyone's kind of like a teen stereotype.
And no one's likable. There's no character development.
Exactly. And it's like, you know, what I think they're trying to get as like sort of fun, you know, quick repartee or whatever.
Yeah.
It just comes off like a bad MTV video. It's so quick, so fast, so difficult to understand.
Yep.
You know, I was watching it with my husband, you know,
yep.
And he was first like, what is this? Like, this is awful. You know,
and my husband said the same thing.
Yeah, you can't. And it's like you can't understand it. It's bad.
Now, is it just because you and I are not teens, do you think?
You know, I don't know. I don't know.
I mean, is it resonating with it? Because here's part of the confusion for me, too. It's rated mature.
Right.
Right. And even when you watch it online, which is how we did, it makes you put in your birth date in order to watch it.
Oh, my God. Well, for
so
me.
So who's it really appeal? It's supposed to appeal to adults because you shouldn't be under 18 and watching it.
Right.
Right.
Which is ironic because it's shown on MTV and all I had to do was press record on my DVR.
Oh,
so.
Right. I had to put in a birth date.
Wow. Okay.
I got carded.
Checkpoint Charlie right there.
It's true. But I just find it really inauthentic. And I was reading a couple reviews of it, too. And one of the reviews was saying that the English show in England, they're not afraid to cast youth that like look like disaffected youth, you know what I mean, with bad skin and they don't look perfect. And on this show, of course, like every other MTV show, everyone looks polished.
Abercrombie and Fitch models. Yeah, exactly.
And Tony, that main character, I cannot stand him.
Oh, he's awful. He's completely unlikable. I didn't believe it. I didn't believe those were his friends.
No, me either.
And so here's the thing, you know, I the analogy that I brought up with Jeff, my husband, is that it's kind of, they're trying to like, trying to be the queerest folk for teens.
Oh, okay.
But it didn't work.
It didn't work.
To me, it doesn't work. There's something lost in the
translation. And it's all just shock value. There's no substance to it. So, you know, oh, the lesbian scene, or oh, the girl masturbating when her grandmother comes in, or all the drug references. It's like, my husband, it's like, he's like, I already saw Trainspotting, and they did a lot better.
Right.
A lot better with that. And also, it's like they're trying to appeal, like, this is supposed to be the new Ferris Bueller type character.
Right.
Ferris Bueller. lovable, likable, you know, this guy.
Yeah, the lovable bad guy.
Can't
stand he's it. Just, yeah, smarmy. And, yeah.
So despite, you know, the sex references and everything else, and apparently since, you know, this whole debate has come out, they've lost half their sponsors.
Right.
And funny enough, in the last week, they have lost half their viewership.
I saw that. Yeah, it's like 25% or 50% down. Yeah.
And I just don't think it's about the sexuality content.
No,
it's
a bad show.
It just sucks.
It's unwatchable. You know, it's like it's headache inducing.
Speaking of things that are unwatchable and headache inducing, mm-hmm. Bristol Palin.
Woohoo! Palin.
It's true. Yeah. So the shtick on Palin is that Bristol got invited to Sex Week at Washington University to speak on abstinence. They're paying her apparently. I know. You're laughing.
God, right.
They're paying her five figures to speak on abstinence at Washington University.
Oh my! Isn't that, I was to say, isn't that kind of like Madonna talking about virginity?
Right. Well, it didn't work for me.
Right.
But you all, yeah, should exercise abstinence. Yeah, it's crazy. And I you talk
or it would be like Cher or Joan Rivers talking about the dangers of plastic surgery.
Exactly. Oh my God, that's exactly it. And the whole thing is. So everyone's abuzz in the, like, sexology, sex educator community.
Okay.
Because Sex Week is a big deal for us in our field, right?
Okay.
At all the different universities.
Right.
And for them to spend five figures, which is what a lot of sex educators get paid for a whole year, by the way, on Bristol Palin's take on abstinence is bullshit.
That's ridiculous.
Yeah, people are not happy.
Crazy.
But I have to admit, I wonder if, you know, it could just be a PR ploy, too, for the university. Because who's talked about Washington University? I think it's in Louisiana or something.
Really?
Yeah. It's not like in Washington State or
D.C. There's a Washington University in Missouri, I think, isn't there?
Yeah, oh, that's it. Yeah. So, but of course, now they're getting all the PR. So who knows? But I wonder if people are going to, because there have been talk of boycotts and things for her talk. So.
Right. There you go. I mean, it sounds like a PR thing.
Good luck, Bristol. We'll check in with you and see how it went. I'm sure you'll convert lots of people to the to the abstinent way.
Just say Mo. You have questions, we have answers. You can call the Dr. Cat 24-hour a day, 7-day a week listener line at 213-270-1968. Okay, our first question comes from Gina. Gina smells something funny.
Ooh.
Gina asks, my partner and I have been together for 3 years. We had unprotected sex for that time about a year ago. I noticed when he came in me, a strong odor would be noticeable almost immediately. Anyway, at first I thought he gave me something. I took antibiotics and it went away. Well, he came in me and the smell was back. Now I make him pull out and it hasn't returned. What is the reason for this? As Sex and the City would say, funky spunk.
Right. That is some funky spunk, apparently. Well, here's the thing I find a little confusing. So she said she took antibiotics, but it doesn't sound like she was actually diagnosed.
With anything?
Right. Like, wouldn't you normally go in and like, hey, you know, check me out for chlamydia, gonorrhea, blah, blah, blah.
Right.
Get diagnosed, get antibiotics. It sounds like maybe she self-treated with, I don't know.
Yeah, but how do you get antibiotics without a prescription?
I don't know. Some people don't take their full prescriptions and then save it for later. You know what
I
mean?
Right.
So that's what I'm wondering about with that. So I'm wondering if there was actually an infection at all, you know. Because really what should happen here is that, you know, the both of them should go get checked out and see what's really going on.
Because I guess the thing is, even if she took the antibiotics and it went away, it happened a second time.
Right.
So,
and if he didn't take antibiotics, they can definitely pass it back and forth to each other.
Right. Yeah. Ooh.
But there is another alternative explanation for this, too.
There is. Is she baking bread?
Oh, my God.
Like yeast infection? Or no?
It could be, but really, I'm thinking more sometimes just body chemistry. When you're looking at pH levels in the vagina and you're looking at, you know, ejaculation.
Which I often don't do. But
you don't look at pH levels in the vagina?
Anyway.
But basically, sometimes just body chemistry can cause, you know, different, I was going to say, aromas. You know,
funky spunk.
Yeah, funky spunk. That basically, maybe you're picking up, and for whatever reason, his ejaculate mixing with your vaginal secretions may just equal funky spunk.
Okay.
Maybe nothing is. Maybe there isn't an infection. Maybe it's just a biochemical sort of thing.
Right, like sort of like wearing when you have a perfume on.
Right,
and it reacts differently.
That's
to
how
your,
you mix
to your chemistry exactly.
So it sounds like she's making them. You know, come outside of her, and that seems to be okay for whatever reason.
Okay.
So barring the whole checking the infection thing out, that could just be your own personal, you know, scent mixture.
There you go. Now, speaking of scent mixtures.
Yes.
You were the one that informed me about Lady Gaga. Do tell, Kat.
So Lady Gaga apparently has a new signature scent that she's working on.
Okay. And what would that be?
Apparently, we don't know the name of it as of yet, but Lady Gaga said that she wants to make sure that the smell is reminiscent of semen and blood.
What? Which, it's like, what? What is that? I mean, I guess she's you know, sort of capitalizing on the whole vampire, you know,
maybe
craze with the teen porn of skins. I don't know. But of course, then my mind starts going, what is she going to call it? Like, cum rag?
Oh, no. Well, I just picture her meat dress.
Douchebag.
Oh, my God.
The new scent by Lady Gaga, you know. Jizzy tampon.
Oh, my.
By Gaza, by Gaga.
Well, I'm just thinking it's going to appeal to people who like the smell of metals and chlorine.
Yeah.
Like, who is into that?
That is so awful. I don't know. Awful. That is so, or maybe she'll just call it Funky Smoke.
Funky Smoke. Oh, my God. Yeah, I'm looking forward to that. Maybe we can get a sample sent ahead of time.
God.
So.
Right.
Oh, my God. We'll be right back after a quick 30-second break from our sponsor, AdamandEve.com.
Dr. Cat. It's Sex Chat with Dr. Cat.
Hey there, are you looking to spice things up in the bedroom? Well, here's an offer you won't be able to resist. Go to AdamandEve.com and get 50% off just about any item. That's 50% off adult toys, lubes, movies, or almost anything you desire. Plus, get a free extra gift so sensual we can't mention it here. And to top it all off, free shipping. And no, we're not teasing. Just type Dr. Cat for the offer code upon checkout. That's offer code DRKAT at AdamandEve.com.
Okay, our next question comes from Ron, and Ron wants to know if he should get a penile implant. My wife and I have been married for nearly 38 years. Good on you, Ron. Sex for the first 25 or so was great, at least for me. Now, though, I'm 64 and I'm an insulin diabetic. I also take antidepressants. I've been using the Caverject injection and a daily dose of testosterone gel. Most times I can achieve an erection but not maintain it. We have resorted to adult toys to the point that we feel like perverts. Oh, you should never feel like
I
a
know,
pervert.
I know, right.
Should I consider getting a penile implant? And if so, what could I expect surgery-wise and sexual performance-wise? Thanks.
All right. Well, I can't really address the whole, you know, medical end of this. You know, I have no idea what the surgery is for. But, you know, Ron, do your research. I mean, you know, talk to your doctor. Obviously, you're getting, you know, your testosterone gel and your injections, that those are prescribed. And so
right.
you're seeing someone. So I would say, you know, you need to have a heart-to-heart.
Yeah.
And then also, you know, heart-to-heart with your wife. You know, how important is it for you to actually, you know, have a whatever,
rock hard
cock for
right.
Yeah, you know, maybe you have lots of foreplay and you do the injection. Now, from what I understand, the covered injection, it's actually an injection that you do in the base of your penis.
You got it.
Yeah, which, you know, sort of then.
Which, by the way, they talk about the most common side effect with Caverject.
What's that?
Is pain.
Oh,
I'm like,
right.
Duh. You're injecting it right into your penis.
Right.
Holy
I'm so
shoot.
Rock hard, but I'm losing it because it hurts so much.
Oh, it's true. And granted, for a lot of people, so here's the thing. Normally when people ask about penile injections and implants, it's not medically required. You know, it's like, oh, I just wish I were harder, longer, whatever.
Right.
And in those cases, we say, find some other way to deal with it.
Right.
Right. But when it's medically, you know, required, meaning that he's a diabetic plus he's on antidepressants, which aren't mm-hmm. oftentimes very good for erections.
Right.
There are other options. And I have to admit that, yeah, absolutely should be medically required before mm-hmm. he takes the next step. I would say also, too, that he talked to other men who've had the surgery.
There you go.
If you ask the doctor, oftentimes he can give you references or just go online, read as many things as you can about it. I have to admit, what I understand about the penile prosthetics, which, just so everyone knows out there, there are two kinds. There's a malleable kind that, I mean, forgive the analogy here, but it's basically kind of like they're rods inserted into the corpora cavernosa.
You can put it into my speak. It's like Barbie legs that bend.
Yes. Oh my God. I'm picturing little mini Barbie legs. Yeah, but it's true.
That's a big rock hard cock with Barbie legs.
That is true. And so those are inserted, and that means they're malleable. So it means you're going to have an erection all the time in your penis, but you can kind of bend it down so that it's not obvious, or bend it up when you want a little action. Funny enough, most people say that it doesn't affect the sensitivity or ability to orgasm or anything like that. They've been pretty happy with it.
Interesting.
The other kind that you have a little more option with is the hydraulic inflatable penile.
Right.
Pump it up. Pump it up. Yes, exactly. And it is actually that. They're basically, you know, that's also inserted in the same area. And it fills with fluid or some sort of liquid, and there actually is a little pump in the scrotum or sometimes the lower abdominal area so that you don't have to have an erection all the time.
Hmm.
But when you do want it, you just literally pump it up, and it fills the reservoir, and you have an erection for a period of time. Funny enough, it's got like a 90% satisfaction rate.
Really?
With it. And it's not cheap, and it's going to take you a while to kind of bounce back from because, you know, it's a surgery.
Right, it's invasive.
And the thing is that, you know, because it's something being inserted into your body, you always have to be careful with infection and with rejection of it. Sometimes they do wear out.
Mm.
So you either have to have them replaced, but you have to make sure, too, because the tissue can wear out around where the bulb is and the insertable is.
Mm.
So if that happens, you might still be stuck with, you know, after using it a few years.
I wonder if there's a lemon law.
Right.
So here's the other thing that I'm thinking of, too, is that, you know, he's saying that I know he's a diabetic, but also he's saying the antidepressants thing.
Yes.
So maybe something that he wants to talk to the doctor about is, like, is this – obviously the diabetes is a long-term thing, but the antidepressants, if – at some point he comes off of them.
Right.
And then he is able to have an erection – maybe he doesn't want to do something permanent, a permanent penile
true,
implant
that, is true.
That, you know, in the future it might not, you know.
Yeah, and he's going to have to work that out with his doctor, for sure. But he does sound, I must say, he does sound like a candidate. So, try it out. Let us know what happens with it because it might be worth checking into.
You have questions. We have answers. Call the Dr. Cat 24-hour-a-day, 7-day-a-week listener line at 213-270-1968. So Herman would like to know how to get the show on the road. Herman asks, I would like some advice on not lasting so long during sex. It seems to take forever.
Funny, it's either guys don't ejaculate quickly enough.
No.
Or they're too quick on the draw.
No kidding. Wow. I'm not lasting so long.
So this used to be called, and this is horrible, but this condition... It used to be called retarded ejaculation.
Oh, okay.
They've changed it now to delayed ejaculation.
Okay.
And it'd be caused by either psychological or physiological problems.
Interesting. Is it just a loss of sensitivity or?
It can be that sometimes people have masturbation patterns that kind of train them into delayed ejaculation. Sometimes it has to do with other psychological issues like religious upbringing or issues with the partner. Or if it's more like medically based, some guys have nerve damage for whatever reason. Or if he's on medication.
Interesting,
sometimes medication can delay it.
I would associate a lot of, you know, what you were saying, the psychological problems, you know, the way you're brought up or partner issues. That to me translates to you can't get it up, not that I'm rock hard and I can't come.
Right. But in other people, it does manifest to the point of where they can get it up and they can get it going. But for whatever reason, they can't close the deal. They get stuck in kind of a loop psychologically to where, you know, I can't come. But somehow they're able to maintain the erection.
Okay.
So which, you know, that can be annoying. And it depends how it's diagnosed. You know, I mean, often these are guys who, I mean, they're going 30, 45 minutes, an hour.
Wow.
Without being able to come.
Their poor partner.
I know. But it's true.
It's Christy Brinkley. She's got the job of chick monk now. It's like, come on, honey.
It's like, Jesus Christ, get it over with already. Which, you know, we hopefully they're able to kind of maximize it. But it's true. A lot of partners end up feeling really run down.
I bet.
After, if you're going to have sex. I mean, sometimes quickies are great because you're in, you're out. You get the, you know, everyone gets... you know, what they want out of it, and they get on with life. And other times, the prolonged lovemaking sessions are fabulous.
Mm-hmm.
But if you're looking at an hour every time you jump in the sack, that's a lot of commitment.
And I'm wondering, it's interesting, I'm wondering if it happens when he jerks off.
Exactly. So that would be the other thing. He needs to look at, is it happening when he just masturbates? Is it only happening during partner sex? He should have a rule out done with a medical professional on whether they're if he's on any meds or if there is any nerve damage for whatever reason.
Mm-hmm.
And if not, if it's psychological, I mean, there are a couple things he can try on his own. Number one is to take the emphasis off the performance.
Okay.
Right?
Right.
So not be orgasm driven. And there's a thing called sensate focus. Do you know what that is?
No.
It basically has to do with a lot of sex therapists and sexologists do it with their clients. It's where you kind of have a moratorium on penetrative sex for a period of time, and you focus mostly on touch. And then eventually through foreplay, you kind of work your way back into actual penetration.
Okay, gotcha.
So they could try that if he's got a regular partner. Also, for some people, hypnosis actually works for
Interesting.
This.
Wow.
Yeah. So it just kind of depends. I would say, you know, try the sensate stuff and the non-performance-oriented stuff on your own.
You better make sure you be careful for your trigger. Madagascar.
Right? You're kumquat.
You're at the grocery store, right? What beautiful kumquats. That man just came in his pants.
Right.
Pervert.
Right. You want a certified hypnotist to work with you, not like, somebody who's just going to think it's funny that, right. You know. Yeah. Don't go to the comedy shop, you know, where they've got like the comedian hypnosis guy there that night.
Yeah.
You want someone you can trust. But, you know, there are a couple things he can try on his own. And, you know, just give that a shot. And if not, go the rule out the medical stuff and see a sex therapist if not.
And Herman, let us know what works for you.
Yeah.
You know, write us back and let us know what you tried and what worked and what didn't.
You got it. So it's time for a gay straight take featured toy of the week. Yay. And we have our part one of our Valentine's Day buyer's guide. And for this one, we're doing stuff you can wear.
Yay. We have a different page. So you're saying here's the tuggy. I didn't even see the cockatoo.
There's a cockatoo.
You tell me about the cockatoo because I looked up the tuggy, which is next.
Okay. So the cockatoo. So here's the thing is, it's basically you insert the penis and it's actually got a little bit of a sheath so that it kind of gives you kind of the basis of an erection. So it's actually firm.
Oh, I see. So, but I mean, your limp weenie can hang out the end.
Yes. But... And exactly. And through wearing it, it's supposed to kind of make you hard. There's an elasticized ball sack that can help keep you, you know, stiff and everything. But it is kind of a soft material. It's got a little bit of structure to it so that, you know, it actually...
And if you wear it with underwear, it could be like the, you know, the Wonder Bra of men's underwear.
That's true. So, you know, kind of novel, kind of interesting. Mm-hmm. It's an interesting piece of lingerie for men.
Pushing up that package there.
You got it.
So the tuggy. So, you know, I got your email and I looked up the tuggy. I had to laugh. Okay. So let me explain. The tuggy is like, it's like a little plushy sack or, you know, sock for your cock. And it says the fuzzy sock that warms your cock.
It is winter.
So if you
everyone
think,
needs a warm cock, not a cold cock.
There you go. So, you know, if you think of like a soft eyeglass case with the pull string,
that's
kind of what it is.
That's
except
true.
It's in the shape of a ball and a cock.
Right.
But here's the thing. It's leopard. And all I could think of is like, I don't think I want my stuff, my junk looking like a Muppet.
Oh, my God. I didn't even think of that. That is hilarious.
Yeah. So, it's kind of fun and kind of, you know, whimsical, but it's nothing that's going to like, get my juices going my partner reveals his tuggy.
Well, and for those people who have, you know, fetishes with plushies, though,
work. There you go.
For all those people out there who have that specific fetish.
Right.
No, I think it's
we're talking to you.
You, the one in like 300,000. Right. No, but it is really cute. It is novel. It's more of a novelty.
There you go.
And, you know, with all the lingerie stuff out there for women, it's like, it's just nice to see that there are some kind of creative
maybe
ways.
Maybe we can make the tuggy the French maid outfit for the man.
Exactly. Right. Or if you've got a thing for the Muppet Show, should work out that way as well. But yeah, it's cute. So for the men, we're looking at the tuggy, T-U-G-G-I-E.
Yep.
And then the cockatoo, C-O-C-K-A-T-O-O, mm-hmm. on adamandeve.com. That's where you can find those. And then for her, I think every woman should own a corset.
I think you're right. At least play around with it. You know,
it's true.
It's really fun.
They are. They're totally fun. It really kind of gives you a really sleek outline.
Mm-hmm. Hourglass sort of shape.
Yeah. And to me, I mean, some women are like, I don't like being bound up. And granted, you kind of have to get over that but other women really love the sensation of kind of being bound in and tied off, so to speak. But the cool thing about corsets is you can totally like wear them to the club. Too.
Oh, there you go.
You know what I mean? Like a lot of the ones that are out there now, you can wear them out of the house and, you know, not they're not just for the bedroom anymore.
Right, they're not the Victorian torture chambers they used to be.
Exactly. And the one I was looking at on Adam and Eve is the snake print corset.
Wow.
And it's got like flexible steel boning to hold the shape and support. There's even an included matching G-string panty.
Ooh, there you go.
And it's got the closures. It's not a bitch to get in and out of, which some of the other corsets are.
Right.
So you get easy access
there
with
you
this
go.
Corset.
Right.
But, you know, it's funny because a lot of the custom corsets can cost like hundreds and hundreds of dollars. And this one was really reasonably priced. So I
Good.
Think it was like 75 or 80 bucks or something like that.
And with the Dr. Cat code.
That's true. In theory, you could get 50% off of it. But yeah. And you can kind of control how much breathing room you want with it. But really cool. And the other awesome gift for Valentine's Day, always, panties.
We love panties. Especially, you know what? And why not? The crotchless panty.
I know. Yeah. So, you know.
It's like the French maid of panties.
It's true. Open for business.
There you go.
But a lot of women have lots of different panties, but the crotchless ones are kind of fun because you don't even have to pull them aside. You can just kind of, you know, you're ready to go.
Right. Exactly.
So
bring that tuggy over here.
That's right. We'll merge.
Ooh, your cock is so warm.
In my crotchless panties. So anyway, it's the irresistible crotchless lace panty. Again, really reasonably priced. And just kind of a fun little gift to play with. And even as someone who doesn't wear panties, personally,
and
I still like them for wearing panties purposefully. Yes.
For him or her.
Well, thanks for joining us today. And don't forget to visit adamandeve.com, our wonderful sponsors, to get 50% off almost any item, plus a free gift and free shipping on your entire order when you use the code DRKAT at checkout. That's DRKAT.
I want you to actually go to Kat's new video podcast on sex toys for everyone, and it's called In the Sex Toy Box with Dr. Kat. That is at drkat.com.
You got it. Thanks again, Ross.
Thank you.
Bye.
Sex Chat with Dr. Kat.